Go ahead and open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're in a series. For the past 2 weeks, we've kind of taken a... We've kind of taken a different trail, and Mike McSwain has been here speaking and preaching. How many of you have been accepting and loving and enjoying Pastor Mike McSwain's messages lately?
Yeah.
Good. We're still in a series on cultural inquisitives, and the title tonight is "How Should I Be?" Part two. How should I be? Would you ask it? Say, "How should I be?"
How should I be?
We just got done with the first part of the series of cultural inquisitives. And the first part of the series was, "Where do I belong? Where do I belong?" Who remembers that series?
Yeah.
Remember that series? Good series. How many are blessed by that series?
Yeah.
Blessed by that series. Awesome. All two of you. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you're blessed. This series is something God put on my heart, and so I'm excited to share it with you. And so we're talking about how should I be? How should I be? We're talking about how should I be. And I would say that is a cultural inquisitive, or that is a question that our culture is asking today. Whether they verbalize it outwardly, or they just think it, there is something that is in your heart that you are wondering, how should I be? And you respond to that own question in your heart, and you act the way you think you should be. And so, how should I be is all about God's perfect plan for your attitude. God's perfect plan for your attitude. Remember, how you go is more important than where you go. I can go to India, but if I'm not going out of love and for the purpose of ministering the gospel, God's not going to use me unless my how is correct. God wants to make sure that my heart is in the right place so that He can use me and so that He can be with me. My how is very important. You can go where all you want, but if you don't have a how, you're really not going anywhere. How should I be? This is so important because this is your how consumes your whole life. As a matter of fact, your how directs your path. How you go is where you ultimately will end up. If you have a how attitude that is, I am all that I am, and I'm good and of myself, you're going to end up prideful and you're going to fall into sin. If your how is opposite that says, God, I'm broken, I need you, I'm desperate, I'm sinful apart from you, and I need you so much, you will result in grace, and God will lift you up and carry you further than you could ever imagine. So how you go determines where you go in life. So your how is so important. The attitude of your heart, the condition of your heart is so important, young people, in your life. So that's why we're asking the question, how should I be? We're asking not me, we're asking God, we're asking the Holy Spirit, how should I be today where I am in the age that I am, in the country that I live in the city that I am in the family that I am in the school that I am in? How should I be? God is more concerned about your where. Sorry, God is more concerned about your how than He is about your where, because He has a who in mind. God is more concerned about your how than He is about your where, because He has a who in mind. God is concerned about your attitude because He wants to form Himself in you and do great things in you and through you. Amen?
Amen.
So we're on part two of how we should be, and we're going to Matthew 14. And we're just trusting that God's going to say something to us tonight. Matthew 14. Did I say Matthew 14? Immediately. You ready? Come on. You ready? Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Say the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Matthew's trying to rhyme or something. Now when evening came, he was alone there that day. I'm just kidding. It doesn't say that, but that'd be funny. But, somebody say but. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night. Now fourth watch of the night, you got to think about this. Let's just picture this. Fourth watch of the night was about between the time of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. These guys are crazy. They're just getting on their boat. It's probably 4 o'clock, we'll say 4 o'clock a.m. And so they've been traveling probably all night. And it just said that the winds were contrary, so it's blowing them here and there. And they're trying to get across, but they can't get across. And Mark gives an account of the same story in Mark chapter 6. And he says that they were straining at their rowing because they're trying to get somewhere. And they're straining. They're straining. And so it's like 3:30, probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And they're trying to get somewhere. And they must be tired. They must be dog tired. Trying to sleep probably. Peter's probably leading. He's probably the captain leading the boat. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. That's good. So Jesus is walking on the water. Now I'm just going to stop here for a moment and just say this. He really did walk on water. He really did walk on water. And I'm gonna take this story and tie it in spiritually and metaphorically. But before I do that, before I give an analogy, I want to say this. That Jesus really did come here. He lived here on this earth. And he walked on water. And he overcame the winds and the waves. And he told them to shut up and stop. And they shut up and stopped. We serve a big God who made the water, who made the principles of the water, and he can overcome the principles because he made them. He made them. Amen? So Jesus did walk on water. That's good news. We could have stopped there and we would have done all right. Right there. They saw Jesus walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." They cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer," or "Take courage, it is I," or other translations. In the actual literal translation, Jesus says, "I am, do not be afraid." Did you hear that? He says, "Be of good cheer," or "Be confident, I am, don't be afraid." Be of good cheer, be confident, I am, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so it reads on. Peter ends up stepping on the water. Long story short, he starts sinking. Jesus catches him. But we're going to go on to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 32. "Indeed, the hour is coming." This is Jesus speaking who? This is Jesus speaking who? Sorry, this is Jesus. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Sorry, is that confusing? This is Jesus speaking who? Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Come on, who's speaking?
Jesus.
Okay, so Jesus is speaking. He says, "Indeed, the hour is coming." Yes. "It has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Key verse tonight. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? God, tonight we're thankful so much, God, that you love us. God, that you're with us. And God, that you have overcome the world. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you tonight. I'm asking that you would speak to each individual person here tonight where they are in their life. And God, that you would impart peace and joy to them tonight. And God, they'd be strengthened with all might and with all power. And God, they'd be reminded of how big and how great you are. Holy Spirit, we ask you, teach us the word and show us how to live it out. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's just open up this story. This story there's so much going on in this story. A lot of different things are happening in this story. First thing is that Jesus just got done feeding 5,000. That's amazing. They take five pieces of bread and two fishes. Okay, it says fishes in the Bible. I'm just preaching the word. And two fishes, okay, and it says that he broke the bread, gave thanks, and boom, okay, it fed 5,000 men, which was probably about 10,000 people. And so it fed thousands of people, plenty of food. The Bible says that they had more than enough. They were full. Now, if you were the disciples, you're probably like, dang, dude, this guy's legit, you know? Like, he just really did that. You know, actually, it says that they didn't even totally understand. Well, how did he do that? Why did he do that? The Bible says their hearts were hardened, so they didn't really understand. But either way, the point is that they're probably astonished. They're probably like, I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, and he chose me, you know? And just kind of, you just kind of walk with him, and you just kind of go with Jesus, and you're just like, you're like his buddies. You know, I mean, if it was me, I'd be like just stoked and excited and kind of keep my chest up high, and things are going good, and Jesus is feeding the thousands, and man, what could go wrong? You know? And so they're stoked. And so they hear this, and they see this, and Jesus says, hey, you need to get in the boat. You need to go to the other side. And to them, it's like, oh, more fishes and loaves, multiply them. Shoot, man. I can serve out some fish, you know? I can't wait. I can't wait to go across to the other side. They're stoked. Because to them, they're thinking, he just did something huge. Why not go to the other side and just see him do something else huge and be part of it? That's awesome. And so to them, the other side, which for us, if God's telling us to go somewhere in our life, if God is calling us to go somewhere or points out something for us in our life to do or to be, I'm called to be a doctor. I'm called to be a lawyer. I'm called to go to college down in Idaho. I'm called I really want to be a mom. I want to be a dad. I want to build a family. I want to get, God's calling me to get good grades, whatever. God has this destination for you in mind, and the destination is good. God's destination for you is always good.
Right.
What God has for you is always good. The end result is always good. The other side is always good. And now where they started, they're stoked, man. They just saw Jesus do some good stuff. Stoked. So why wouldn't we go to the other side? Let's go. Let's go to the other side. Let's go see what he's going to do. But they didn't know what was coming. And so many times in our life, we're so stoked and focused on what's coming and what God has for us that we forget that there is a path. And we forget that there is a way or a pathway to get to the other side. I find it interesting that Jesus, knowing that a storm was coming, he didn't tell them to take the road. He told them to get in the boat and go across the water. That's important. Well, I'm called to be a pastor. There's one way. It's what he says. And you're called to be obedient to that. You can't go around on the shore. Why? It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. But a good idea that is not a God idea, it's a bad idea. Because to them, they're thinking it's probably late, and I can get to the other side walking around the lake, but Jesus said get in the boat, so I'm getting the boat. Jesus, knowing that the storm's coming, Jesus tells them to get in the boat. He wants them to get to the other side, but he knows what's coming. In verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was left alone. And John 6 gives an account. Mark 6 gives an account. But John 6:17 says that it was already dark. John 6 says that it was already dark. And that word dark is the word skotia in the Greek, which it means, it doesn't mean like dark physically, it means spiritually dark. But John was not just saying spiritually dark, he was actually saying it was dark, but he uses this word to symbolize that there was darkness that came. It's one thing to go through a storm when it's dark. It's a whole other thing to go through the storm when it's light. It's one thing to go through the storm when you can see everything and you can understand what's happening. It's another thing to go through a storm when you can't really see things and you don't really understand why it's happening. Jesus, knowing that they're going to go through the storm, knowing that they're going to get to the other side, but he knows they're going to go through the storm, still tells them to get in the boat and go to the other storm, even though it's dark and they can't understand and see what's happening. So they get in the boat. It's dark time. It's night out. I could imagine these guys, you know, they're probably just chilling. Peter's probably, he is the oldest one. He's probably the most mature one of them. Probably the most experienced in taking out boats and working on boats and doing things like that. And so he knows what he's doing. So he's probably captaining it out. I don't know. It doesn't matter, but he's probably the captain. So everybody else was probably trying to go to sleep. You know, I mean, they're probably thinking and pondering about all the things that Jesus had done. Thinking about, man, remember that blind guy? What happened? I can imagine them laying back and looking at the stars at nighttime. And kind of just thinking about all these good things that had happened. And all excited. You know, like Luke. Luke's probably trying to figure out all the details about why he did what he did. Because, you know, he was a physician, so he's probably a smart guy. He focused on details. You know, then you got Matthew. Matthew's a tax collector, so he's probably counting things. You know, he's like, man, that was like 216 people got healed in one day. You know, laying back, look at the stars. You know. And then you got Thomas. Thomas is, I don't know about all that stuff, man. Because Thomas is the doubter, right? So he's just, whole time just, Thomas, I don't know, hold on, man. I'm just thinking about this. I don't get it. You know, Thomas is just the doubter, you know. Peter's just like, oh, that was nothing. Just wait, guys. You just wait. You know, he's just strutting his stuff, you know. And John's the intimate one. You know, he's probably just laying back, kicking up in the boat, man. Man, me and Jesus are like this, man. We're just so tight and, man, those guys, they only wish they had what me and Jesus had, you know. Yeah. So these guys they're having a good time, enjoying life. Life's going good. They're probably in cruise control. You know, Peter's probably picking on, you know, Judas because he's trying to count the money. You know, he's, what are you doing? Well, think if we would have charged every one of those people that we gave fish and bread to. You know? You know, Peter, what? You know? So it's dark. And they're probably just counting the stars. But then it says that the boat was now in the middle of the lake, it doesn't say actually, the actual translation does not say that it was in the middle of the lake, but it was a certain amount of distance out, which they had, I'd guess, that it was about the middle of the lake. So they're probably halfway. That's important. Because halfway means you're committed. You've already gone halfway, and no matter what happens, you're not going to go back, because that's a waste of time, because I'm already halfway there. You know, I can imagine when the wind started blowing, John says, well, maybe we should just go back. Or Thomas says, hey, I don't know about all this stuff. We should probably start heading back. And Peter goes, dude, we're already halfway there. Let's just keep going. The thing about being halfway is that they were committed. There's no way back. And God allows this storm to start coming. Halfway there. They're about halfway there. And the Bible says, it says that they were in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Mark 6, 48 gives an account, like I was saying. It says, they were straining at rowing. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that in life where you were called to do something and you found yourself straining at trying to get there? Has anybody ever experienced that where you're trying to get there and you're just straining? You feel like you're paddling, but the boat just kind of, it just keeps, you're not going anywhere. You're just straining. And the Bible says actually in John, I think it's John or Mark, I think it is Mark 6, Jesus saw them. Jesus saw them from the mountain. He's like, dang, they're straining. Straining. But Jesus, realizing they're straining, comes down because he knows what's coming. You ever found yourself straining? When something contrary comes, in the world, you have tribulation. We just read that, John 16. Tribulation is anything that is contrary. So they're going, they're trying to get to the other side. You with me? You with me? They're trying to get to the other side, and this contrary wind comes up against them. And you can almost say this spiritually, that anytime you're trying to do something for the Lord, you can expect something contrary in life. You can expect something resisting you. You can expect something to come against you. You can expect trials and tribulations in your life. I'm not saying to expect bad things to happen. I'm just saying Jesus says you will have tribulations in life. And it's important that we understand what this word tribulation is. Tribulation is the word thlipsis. It means to be pressure. It's a pressure. It's to have oppression. It's to have stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. It's like putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. It's like taking, if I were to take this piece of paper and I were to crumple it, that's what this word tribulation means. You remember 2 weeks ago when I was talking about what we should be like? We should be like clay. It's kind of like, how should I be when I'm being squished? How should I be when I'm being pressed? It's like taking that paper and just crumpling it. Because we're talking about being moldable. And so, yes, we're moldable. And so we're going across. We're trying to get to this other side. And something contrary comes. Something that comes against us. We all have tribulations. It's how we respond to them that determines our outcome. I'm not in any way here tonight trying to make you afraid. I'm not even here tonight to try and squash you. I'm here tonight to remind you and to encourage you of what Jesus has said to you today. Because Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, persecutions will come. You know, in this world, actually, the Bible says that in this world, Jesus says, you have tribulations. And so everybody is given tribulations. Everybody goes through things. No matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, everybody is dealt tribulations. You remember the best friend thing when you kind of come across the best friend and you kind of see them every day and they're kind of just that acquaintance. Everybody has that acquaintance that you kind of bump into. Remember, tribulations are like that in life. Remember that? Tribulations are like that person you just can't, you know, they're that person, you know, that's right next to you at your locker. You know? You know, they just stink or something. It's acquaintance. No matter what you do, that principal is not going to open up that thing of yours, that locker, and take all your stuff out and move it four lockers down and put it in there. Because that's just where you are, and that person's just there, and you better just love it. A friend or foe. You can either make this thing that we call trials and tribulations your friend or your foe. You can either say, I'm going to get bitter or I'm going to get better. You can either take this thing and say, okay, it happened, and allow it to press you and form you and get better, or you can let it hit you and get bitter. You can either react to what's happening or what will happen, or you can respond and say, God, I trust you. Because the contrary winds come in life. Man, Gabriel, I'm blessed tonight. Man, you're just encouraging me left and right, bro. There is a lie. And there are preachers that say this, that when you get saved, everything is good. And that's a lie. Now, eternally, everything is good. And everything is accomplished. That when you give your life to Jesus, you are eternally saved and protected, and God's favor is on you. You might be crushed, but you will not be destroyed. And that's true. But on this earth, tribulations come, and tough times do come, and things do happen. Whether you're in one right now, or whether you will be in one, if you ask anybody that's lived longer than you, you'll find out that the people go through trials and tribulations. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to give you something so that when you do come across a contrary wind, you know how you should be. Because I want to know how I should be when I come into something contrary to what I'm trying to do. I want to know the attitude of my heart that God desires me to be in when I come across something that is contrary. And in the church today, there are many physical afflictions coming on the church. More diseases and sicknesses and cancers and things like that that are coming in our church now than I've ever seen. And I'm old. But for sure, they are coming on our church. And it's not just our church, it's the church worldwide. People are being afflicted. So people ask questions, well, isn't God good? Yes, God's good. For sure he's good, but the devil's bad. And we live in a broken world, in a broken society, where wind blows and seas arise. See, because in Mark 6, it says that the sea arose because the wind blew. That's important for us to understand that God didn't make it. The wind or the enemy is what blew and allowed these seas to arise. Things happen. Wow, I'm really encouraged now. Because I don't want to lie to you tonight and tell you things don't happen. I don't want to lie to you and tell you things don't happen, and then when you run into something that is contrary to you, you just freak out and you're like, what happened? I thought I was saved. Because many times that's what people do. They start following Jesus, and then something happens in their life that is contrary, and they tend to react and give up. Because fear grips their heart, so they run away. Because I know that you're going to go through a storm, something that is contrary to where God is calling you to go, I want to give you the tools on how to get through it. Hallelujah. This is kind of serious and sober tonight for sure. But I want to bless you tonight. And I want God to impart something to you tonight. And I want you to have your ears open and your minds ready. And don't say you never heard this. Whatever it is, no matter what it is, no matter what you go through, no matter whatever it is, anything that challenges the comfort of your soul. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Remember John 16:33? I have told you these things. What had just taken place was in chapter 14 through chapter 17. Through chapter 16, all the way up to the end of chapter 16. Jesus gives this discourse to his disciples to encourage them. And at the end, toward the end, he says, the very end, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. This is the Amplified Version. And what he had just got done telling them was this. You're going to go through things. If you follow me, things will happen. They're going to persecute you. They're going to come against you. But then he goes on, he says this. He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm sending my Holy Spirit to you, to be with you. And so then he wraps the whole thing up. And he says in John 16:33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Amplified says it this way, I have deprived the world of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. How should I be? When I come across something that is contrary, when the winds begin to blow, what is it that Jesus says? He says, take courage. In other words, he says, be confident. I am. Now this is important to understand that what Jesus was saying at that point was, I am God. I am God. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Does this make sense? Don't be discouraged. Don't run away out of fear with what is taking place. Because you're going to get to the other side. But for right now, I need you to be confident. Or in other words, have faith. Don't try to find confidence in something else. Just put your confidence in Him. Because what he does to reassure our confidence and to give us confidence to have in something, he says, I am. In other words, I am who I am. In other words, there is no one before me. There is no other God beside me. I am the only God. Amen. And there's nothing that I cannot overcome. And I am right here with you. So you mean, I thought you were going to tell me that he was going to come in and everything was going to get pretty. Not always. Sometimes, but don't get mad if he doesn't come in and redeem you right away. Because sometimes he doesn't come and redeem you right away because he wants to see where your faith lies. Because God is more concerned about the how than he is about where you go and how you necessarily feel. God is more concerned about you seeing who he is than about you feeling good about yourself. That's hard to hear, but God is more concerned about you seeing who he is. Did you know that Jesus already knew that the storm was coming and that they were going to be afraid? He already knew, but he told them to get into the boat, and he waited until they were halfway there, until it really started to shake the boat, and then he says, okay, it's probably about the worst it can get, and now I'm going to come and deliver them, because he wants them to see that he is God, he is a deliverer, and that he rescues and saves us from whatever we go through. God is more concerned about you discovering that He is your Savior, He is your Redeemer, than you feeling good. Young people, this life is not about feeling good. We can try to tell ourselves that as much as we want, but this life is not about feeling good. But what it is about going through trials, and Jesus gives us something that He calls peace that can sustain you in the middle of whatever you go through. Because the world goes through trials and they don't know what to do with it because they have nothing to find confidence in. The only thing they have is themselves and other people, but we're flawless and we can't do anything necessarily. All they have is themselves, but they're weak and they get destroyed because they don't have God. But we as the church, we as those who are God's people, can go through something and have His peace to encourage us and to make our joy complete. Be of good cheer. Be confident in this. Be confident that He is the I Am, or that He is God, that He is the Deliverer, that He is greater than him that is in the world. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we go through things, and things come against us. So what do I do, and how should I be in the middle of this trial, or when I come across it? How should I should be confident. I should be confident that Jesus has overcome the world. He's taken its power. He's taken the power from the world that could ever destroy me. I might be pressed, but I will not be destroyed. I might be squeezed, but I will still stand before the Lord. Things might come, but I will still have peace to sustain me in where I am and where I go. He doesn't promise the perfect picture. He promises peace. Because He's more concerned about how you go. Because He has a who in mind. And if your how is correct, you'll make it. You'll make it. It's not if, it's when. Worship team, can you make your way up here? It's not if, it's when. It's not if, it's when. I pray and I ask God to keep you and to protect you. I do. I do daily. And I hope the best for you. And I'm not saying that something horrible is going to happen to you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. And don't hear me saying that tonight. Because I don't want you to walk out of here discouraged. I want you to walk out of here encouraged, knowing that things happen in life. And that you can be confident because the great I Am is with you. And He's overcome the enemy who's come against you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. How should I be? I should be confident. Would you open up to Isaiah chapter 43 as we close tonight? How y'all doing tonight? We doing well? The Redeemer of Israel. But now, thus says the Lord who created you. Say me.
Me.
Okay, seriously. Are you guys falling asleep tonight? Am I that boring? Thus says the Lord who created you. Say me.
Me.
My goodness, that was horrible. Okay, thus says the Lord who created you. Say me.
Me.
I think it's kind of warm in here or something, Reed. We should probably turn the heat down or something. Because thus says the Lord who created you. Say me.
Me.
Have you ever understood that? God created you. He formed you. And He who formed you, O Israel, or O Christian, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burdened, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have Egypt for your ransom. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. He goes on and on and on, that He is with us, that He is God, that He did form us, that He did redeem us, and I wish I could come tonight, and I wish I could have just entertained you and make you laugh and made you all excited. But I'm just here to give you what the Lord has called me to give you, and the thing that He wants you to hear tonight is that in the middle of things, just watch. in the middle of things, just watch. What does that mean? In the middle of a trial, in the middle of a contrary wind, just watch him. Remember the story of the Egyptians and how they get taken out of Egypt? Remember that story? The Israelites get taken out of Egypt. Not the Egyptians. The Israelites get taken out of Egypt. Remember that story? And remember the Israel, or the Egyptians pursue them to kill them. And the Israelites start freaking out. Something contrary comes against them. Remember what God said to Moses? He says, just tell them to wait and watch me destroy them. Tell them just to wait and watch me destroy them. Because I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy those things that come against you. There's a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 or something like that. It talks about you going through persecutions, or you going through trials, or you going through tribulations. And he says, pretty soon, I'm going to relieve you of what you're going through. I'm going to relieve you of what you're going through. But even if I don't get relieved when I want to get relieved, God is good. He's faithful. He's with you. And you can be confident in this. Young man, young woman, you will not be destroyed. God has redeemed you. God has called you. And he will relieve you. And you will get to the other side. You will get to the other side. Tonight, I'm going to pray. And we're going to worship. But I'm going to ask our leaders, when I get done praying, to just kind of make their way to the front. And what I want to do is, anybody who is going through something or who has gone through something, and you need just an impartation of just peace, you just need an impartation of God's grace, you just need to encounter the Lord, you want somebody to pray for you with whatever you're going through, whatever you are, I want to encourage you to come down and have us pray for you. I'm not expecting everybody to come, and if everybody does come, praise God. But if you are, or if you have, we want to pray for you. So would you stand with me? Go ahead and stand up. And if your neighbor's sleeping, just slap him. Get up, wake him up. This is a life of tribulations. This is a life of tribulations, and God has commanded us to be confident that he who has overcome the world is with you. It's an intimate thing. It's a powerful thing. It's something that the world doesn't have. It's something that you have in Christ. Go ahead and pray with me, and we're going to worship. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we're so grateful and thankful for how much you love us. God, I'm so thankful that you're with us. And God, that you didn't just stay up in heaven and leave us as orphans, God. But you gave us your Son, and you sent us your Son to be with you, to be with us, and to be with you. God, we thank you that no matter what we go through, we can be confident that you have overcome that situation, and that we can trust that you're with us, and that in that, we can have peace. God, I pray for every heart here tonight. Every young man, every young woman, every older person, God, that is here tonight, God, that is under the sound of my voice, God, that they would be encouraged wherever they are. And whatever they go through, whatever they've gone through, God, that you would meet them tonight and reaffirm your love to them and reaffirm your power to them and reaffirm that you are strong and mighty and there's nothing that is too great or too grand for you. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name.